640, Conway Show. We continue here with Steve Gregory and opening up the restaurants, opening up the economy a little bit.
Timmy.
And I noticed that a lot of the other counties are leading the way, opening up immediately. But for some reason, L.A. County has to wait until Friday. Steve Gregory,
yeah.
How are you, bub?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, thanks, man. So what's the story, bud?
Yeah, so the reason that that's happening is, first of all, you figure we're the most densely populated county out of the 58, and that takes a bit of a coordination on the part of the health department to communicate with all of the restaurant owners in the Los Angeles County area. So they said, from the very beginning, when they implement health orders where there's large changes, they would give at least a minimum 3-day notice. In this particular case, nail salons, hair salons, and other personal care services were able to open today immediately because the prep is a little different than restaurants. Restaurants have a lot more equipment, a lot more logistical challenges. So they wanted to give restaurants time to prepare, and they had to have time to communicate to the restaurants exactly what's going to be expected.
Yeah, okay, and so everything is open Friday. Now, the only guy today I heard during the press conference, and I'm not sure if you got a question in or not with Gavin Newsom, but it was Alex Michelson who asked the question, are you doing this because of the recall? And he just totally dismissed it, wholly, and didn't even answer it. Almost seems like he was pissed off that it was even asked of him. But everybody that I know, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, they all think there's a direct connection to that.
Well, I don't want to get into any of that because I don't know.
We are. Let's get into it.
But I will tell you this.
Let's not blow it off.
I will tell you this much, that it seems awfully strange that it was almost as if a switch were flipped. It's just like on Friday, we were all going to be dead by the end of next week, by the way it was sounding. And God forbid if we need a hospital because there won't be any beds and there won't be any oxygen. And we're going to be in the hallways and the tents outside. And then today, we're opening stuff up. Well, wait a minute. What happened to the doom and gloom last week? So I will tell you, when I heard the news yesterday afternoon about it, I wasn't comfortable enough to go on the air with it yet because it was merely a rumor. And I just was like, really? They're not going to do that? Surely not, because we're, especially L.A. County, we're at such max capacity with ICU beds. But the explanation was, and I didn't hear the governor's presser today, so that's why I wasn't even on the call, because I was focused on other stuff. But the health department said that there was an algorithm that the state uses that projected that by the end of the month, we will have 33% capacity of our ICU bed space, which was the metric in which the state judged the closures to begin with, or the stay-at-home orders. Now that same algorithm apparently is telling everybody that no, within 30 days, we're going to have plenty of ICU beds, or we're going to have enough ICU beds where we can start opening up slowly again. Again, it's an algorithm based on a projection of what may or may not happen in 4 weeks.
Well, again, Steve Gregory is with us. What about inside restaurants? I know that casinos will open up outdoors. Mm-hmm. Restaurants will be open outdoors. Is there any indication that that indoor dining or indoor anything will be open soon?
No, not anytime soon. And the thing I think a silver lining in all of this is that the vaccines are starting to take effect. It's starting to get into the county now. It's starting to get into the population. Thank you.
Right.
It's starting to get into the population now, which is going to be a huge help. And I think that's part of what they're factoring in these equations. But my only question was, and I didn't get one in today, but the question would be, well, wait a minute. If we're at our worst right now with maxed out bed space, ICU bed capacities, oxygens, cases, and everything, we are at the highest we've ever been during the pandemic. Why is it safe now and it wasn't safe before the spike?
Right.
So, and because now at our worst, they're doing 25% capacity for outdoor dining. There's going to be tighter restrictions on employees and making sure that employers provide not only the proper PPE, but it's got to be done in a way where there's a consistent supply of this PPE, and the restaurant owners could get cited if a waiter's not wearing the mask properly. A restaurant could get cited for that. So they're going to tighten up that stuff.
I see.
But then back to your other initial question was, Hilda Solis, the chair of the Board of Supervisors for LA County, was one of those that voted against reopening the restaurants a while back,
what?
If you recall. Remember that a while back, her and Sheila Kuehl, when then an hour's later, Sheila Kuehl's out having dinner after she said outdoor dining kills employees. But she took a turn, and now she sent out a release earlier today that says that she supports it. So, again, it's really odd that this is all coming at a time. It just seemed to happen in like a 3 or 4 day span. All of a sudden, everything's better. It's odd. Not that I don't support, you know, getting to my favorite restaurant, because I can't wait now. In fact, I've already got, you know, deal set up on Friday night for dinner. But I'm serious, dude.
I think to you and I, it's odd. To people who own restaurants, it's effing infuriating.
Of course it is, because, again, you know, if you go back to it, at least a judge here and a judge in San Diego County both ruled that they were not presented enough scientific medical evidence to substantiate the claim that outdoor dining contributed to the spread of the virus. Even the state health director admitted it was only a move to curb behavior. So all of that in place now, you know, I think there's going to be a part of this that I don't know. How can I get into this without getting into an opinion?
Well, think about it. Let's take a break and then come back. And
The record.
Okay. You can reword it. But I also have something. I want to ask you a question, because when we come back, they often repeat this number. And I know you're a stickler for stats and for correct language when it comes to driver license. And so is Chris Little, the news director. But they constantly overstate something in the news that drives me crazy. And when we come back, I want to ask you about it and see if it bothers you as well, or if I'm crazy.
You got it.
Those are the only two possibilities. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Steve Gregory joins us. And before we went to break, Steve, you know, they keep throwing this number around that 1 million people have tested positive in 1 million people infected
this week,
in California. You there?
We will be opening back up.
I'm hearing something back here. All right. Anyway, so Steve, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. So they say 1 million people in California have tested positive, right? But shouldn't that number be 1 million tests have been positive? I mean, because when people have tested more than once, maybe
it's
up
counted.
To 5, 6, 10 times
it's
tested
counted.
Positive.
Yeah, it's counted. That was something that we pointed out from the very beginning, and that's why we don't report cases on KFI News.
But why do all the other news stations report cases?
You'll have to call them. I can't speak for the other stations.
Isn't that a wrong number? I mean, it's just
misleading.
It's not true.
It's misleading. And what they're doing is parroting information they're getting from authorities, and we all do it. I mean, because we have no other way of sourcing that information, and we get multiple sources for information. But in this particular case, when we started looking at the analytics, we started looking at the stats ourselves, downloading the state and the county's own information, and we realized, well, wait a minute. And then we started getting information from medical professionals that says, well, you realize that when they test, like for instance, and we have a medical person. You've got like Dr. Ray, for instance. I have Dr. Jim Keeney that I use for news. And you know, we talk to them and they tell us, listen, if you tested positive, we got to do more tests on you during the week. And that's got to be registered and logged as a positive test every time. So one person that tests three times, that's three positive tests.
Sure.
So if you multiply that by exponentially, you multiply that, and you find out you've got a pretty hefty chunk of the percentage of the population that was tested may have been tested twice up to three times.
Right.
So that's why we chose to stop doing cases.
I see. Right. And I think we're the only ones that have stopped because that's the right way to do it.
We were also the first station that started reporting death trends and hospitalization trends because the number salad that was being given to us every day, the data dump, no one understood it. And it was like we had to really go back and do our own math, figure out percentages and trends over 3 week periods, because it gives a better picture. Like say, okay, like deaths are on a downward trend this week, as opposed to like, well, 150 this and 150 rah, rah, rah. We had to do trends. It's easier to digest.
Right. And I know, Steve, that, you know, if it wasn't for COVID, you would have been all over, you know, the mayor's announcement today, that crime has gone down, car theft has gone down, all that stuff. But yet they didn't include the stat that the big one, murder is up.
Yeah, well, I sat in on that presser today because I was curious about it because the mayor spoke about what we thought was going to be a continuation of the closure of outdoor dining because he did comment on that. So I wanted to listen because you never know what you're going to get out of these
sure.
things. But they're right. And what was interesting about that press conference today was a little bit of contradiction that I could tell in that they had a police commissioner come up and a council member come up and talk about this new forward-thinking way that the LAPD is going to be policing. And I understand that, and things have to evolve. I get all of that. But what they were talking about was like when the commissioner said there was civil unrest over, well, he didn't say it quite like that. He just said the people have spoken. And over the summer, following all of the incidents that happened down in the Fairfax District and all of that, they said that was because people had a message, and we got the message loud and clear that, you know, there needs to be reforms. Well, that was on one hand, and they were talking about the number of deaths that were going on. But the issue that was going on over the summer, that those were protests, by and large, protests against police brutality and the injustices within the justice system. But then they somehow overlap that with the fact that the rise in crime is happening within certain communities. It's not police crime. You know what I mean? It wasn't uses of force, which was the number one reason for those protests last year was
right.
to protest against the use of force on the part of police. They somehow merged those two thoughts together, which I thought was really odd.
Yeah, but why? But the only way to, I don't know why. Why would they do that?
Well, I couldn't speculate because that's not my job.
All right. Well, if you
reporter, the next time you and I have a pepperoni pizza, I'll tell you exactly what I think.
I see. Okay. All right. But it seems like, you know, you could get away with fudging those numbers and not talking about the death rate 20 years ago before the internet was around. But now people
can
just go online
right.
and they can see all those numbers. And it seems like it's almost like they're trying to keep something from us.
Well, and you know what? You bring up a really good point, because a lot of times if you don't know how to read the numbers, it can be just as confusing, just as complicated. And here's the thing. If you have someone that's really good at stats explaining something to you in a way that you're like, you still don't understand it, you still don't get it. I always believe sometimes that agencies want to confuse you and keep you bamboozled, because then you're going to just eventually get so frustrated and go, okay, whatever they tell me, I'll have to believe.
Right.
And I don't think they count on people actually going and studying these numbers and looking at this information. I don't think they really count
they
on
don't.
That.
Right. They don't. I mean, you do it, and some of the KFI reporters.
Well, that's
do
our
it.
Job.
I know Eric Leonard does it, but I don't know anyone else who does it.
No, and that's just it. And when we decided, after a while, Robin Berlucci, she calls me and my other boss, and they're like, can we do something to make this different? She said, I'm tired of hearing all these numbers. I'm just tired of all of this data dump. It makes no sense. We're running these press conferences, and they just stand up there and rattle on numbers, rattle, rattle,
right.
rattle. So we had to come up with a plan, and that's when we sit down and we started putting the math together, and we realized, okay, well, let's make it simple. So that's what we do.
That's great, man. All right, buddy, I really appreciate you coming on, and I know you were a big talk radio fan. I imagine, like me, even though you knew it was coming to an end, the whole Larry King thing was pretty sad.
Yeah, you know, he was such an interesting guy, you know. I got to be honest with you, I didn't care for his interview style. I really didn't.
Oh, well,
no, but
other than the way Magic Johnson played basketball, what did you like about him?
But I liked him, and he was such a cool guy. And the only time there were two times I ran into him downstairs at Morton's and talked to him a little bit at Morton's. And then when the RTNA honored him with a Golden Mike, his Lifetime Achievement Award, and had a nice chat with him then. But no, it was funny because I never really cared for his interview style, but I really thought his show was entertaining because he always got great guests.
Right. Did he ask you, are you a reporter who likes wine or a wino that likes reporting?
No, he wanted to know if I was one of those old school reporters. I think he said gumshoe reporters. Are you one of those gumshoe reporters? And I'm like, well, I wear boots, but sure.
Did he have one of those fancy, Morton's wine lockers downstairs with his name on it?
No,
but
yeah,
you
yeah,
do.
He did. No, he does. He does have one. No, he does have one. That's
oh,
right.
He
does have
okay.
one.
All right.
So that would be that now falls into his estate, his wine locker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, wait, you have one as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What's yours loaded with?
I've got some champagne in there.
Two Buck Chuck?
Yeah. I've got some, I don't know, some champagne, a little red, a little white. I got some Prosecco. I think
wow.
last time I checked, I had a Magnum of Cab from Mondavi.
And who's your neighbor? Who's your wine locker neighbors?
Perez.
Dave Perez?
Yeah, Dave Perez.
That's pretty cool.
I got him one. And then...
Where's Rick Days?
He's on the other side, along with Jay Leno and...
Oh, the money side.
Oh, and then I'm next to Kirsten Dunst.
Wow.
Yeah,
look at you, buddy. You made it, right?
No, not really.
Be proud.
No.
All right, buddy. Thanks for coming on. You're always very knowledgeable and tons of energy. Love it, bud.
Take care, pal. Have
a
good night.
All right, there he goes. Steve Greger, everybody. All right, we come back. Charlie Steiner will come on with us. He's the L.A. Dodgers radio play-by-play guy, and he had a long, great friendship with Larry King. And we'll talk, and he was nice enough to call us tonight. Charlie Steiner, really cool dude. We're live on KFI AM 640.